Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. We're going to open today with a couple of songs. We'll sing together from the hymnal, if you'll stand, and turn to number 201. We'll sing number 201 and 202, Grace Greater Than Our Sin and Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. We'll sing all the verses, number 202.
Saved a wretch like me.
seated. I'd like to read a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The choir is going to come now and sing His Robes for Mine, and Jesus Paid It All. Choir, if you'd come.
Robes for mine, no wonder for exchange. you have a Bible and want to follow along, I'm reading from Luke 22, verses 14 through 23. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you that I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "This cup, take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. Jumping down to verse 39, and he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Stop, no more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come against him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours."
You'll stand, please, and turn to number 178. Our next three songs are from Bach's St. Matthew Passion. They would sing through the Passion of Christ, the evangelist taking the role of proclaiming the scripture and moving the story along, and the congregation, the choir, and soloists reflecting with German hymns, German poetry. So 178, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, is one of the German hymns that they sang in response to the scourging of Christ. All Holy Jesus is another German hymn. And Blute Nur, that Raquel will come and sing, is placed right after Judas's betrayal of Jesus, and it speaks of the sadness of that betrayal. Let's sing together number 178.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
continuing the narrative of that night, Luke 23, verse 1, we read, "Then the whole body of them got up and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king.' So Pilate asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered him and said, 'It is as you say.' Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, 'I find no guilt in this man.' But they kept on insisting, saying, 'He stirs up the people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee, even as far as this place.' When Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there accusing him vehemently. And Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, 'You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion, and behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us, and behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him.' Now he was obliged to release to them at the feast one prisoner. But they cried out all together, saying, 'Away with this man and release for us Barabbas.' He was one who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection made in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept on calling out, saying, 'Crucify, crucify him.' And he said to them the third time, 'Why? What evil has this man done? I have found in him no guilt demanding death. Therefore I will punish him and release him.' But they were insistent with loud voices, asking that he be crucified, and their voices began to prevail. And Pilate pronounced sentence that their demand be granted. And he released the man they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, but he delivered Jesus to their will. When they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. And following him was a large crowd of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?' Two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him."
stand once more and turn to number 185. We'll sing together, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 185.
Bible falls right open to Luke 23, 4-ish, as you can imagine. Luke 23, verse 33. Now, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among them. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me. In paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, Certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds who came together for the spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment.
Thank you.
stand one last time, and on the back of your bulletin, we printed the hymn that we sang at the beginning of the service, His Robes for Mine. We'd like to sing that together, His Robes for Mine.
But I think a Good Friday service is a good thing, right? Very encouraged. What a blessing to be here tonight and hear these songs, this great music, all of it so rich, so profound, so deep theologically. And that's what good music is, right? Like good sermons, they expound Scripture to us. And I don't want to keep you long, but I want to summarize what you've heard tonight, in case you didn't pick up on all of the bits and pieces that you've heard here in the readings of Scripture and in the songs that we're saying. Basically, it's this. We're sinners. Man is sinful. Man is born into this world sinful. God created us in His image. He created us good and right, upstanding with Him. He created us to know Him and to worship Him and to live for Him and to reflect Him and to honor Him. And we rebelled. And we chose to go our own way. Each of us has turned against that plan of God, that purpose of God for our lives. And that's what the Bible calls sin. We're sinners. We're born sinners. We don't have to do anything to be sinners. You enter the world, you're a sinner. And as such, we are under the wrath of God. We are all under the wrath of God. You don't have to do anything bad to do that. You were born that way. Every single person in Adam's fallen race is under the wrath of God. God saw that coming and set in motion before the world began the plan to redeem a people for Himself out of that fallen humanity, a people who would worship Him and love Him and glorify Him and live for Him and serve Him. And so He sent His Son. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. God became flesh, perfectly representing God, perfectly representing man. And He qualified to die in our place, which is what sin deserves. The wages of sin is death. He qualified to die in our place as a substitute for our sin because He wasn't dying for His own sin. Because He was God. He was perfect. He was without sin. So He died on the cross for us. And the wrath of God, because of that one act of righteousness, that one death, the wrath of God was quenched. Propitiation, satisfaction has been made fully, completely, by one death, the death of Christ. And now, because of that, all who belong to Christ are not under the wrath of God. They go free. They're forgiven. They're justified forever, completely. In fact, they're viewed as just as righteous as Christ because God sees them in Christ and covered by the blood of Christ. All their sin is gone. Those who are in Adam are under the wrath of God. Those who are in Christ, by faith in Him, by trust in Him, are no longer under condemnation, but are now saved and set free from sin and bound for glory. And the point of that song, that sort of theme song that you heard tonight by the choir, and then we sang just now, His Robes for Mine, the point of that is to say this: look, you can't get to heaven in those clothes. You understand? You can't get to heaven dressed like that. Your good deeds are not good enough. All your righteousness is as filthy rags, right? You can't get to heaven in those clothes, but you can in His. And so in the wonderful exchange that God has made available to us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin, sin on our behalf. He put our sin on Him, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. So the exchange is our sin goes on Him and His righteousness goes on us. And on that basis, and that alone, we can stand justified before God, completely accepted, beloved, forgiven, justified. And that's what we've talked about tonight. That's what we've sung about tonight. And if you don't know Christ, if you have not received that gift of His robes for yours, that's a very simple thing in terms of receiving that. It's call upon Him. Ask. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that you need Christ to save you and ask Him to do it. And God promises that all who call upon Him will be saved. So that's our invitation to you tonight. That's the reason we gather on a Good Friday, to proclaim that through what Christ has done on the cross, all who come to Him by faith can be saved. So if you want somebody to talk with further about that, I would certainly love to. But simply a matter of you acknowledging that you're a sinner and calling out to the Lord to save you, and He will. He saved us. Many of us who are here tonight, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and it's on that basis and that alone that we know we're accepted by God and bound for heaven. And if we're good people, it's because of the work that Christ is doing in us and through us, not because of ourselves. So let me pray for you and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the time tonight. Thank you for the precious truths that we've heard in these great songs. Just so incredible, Lord, your grace, your love for us, the provision that you've made. And to think, Lord, that your love provided what your righteousness demanded, the perfect sacrifice, Christ himself. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for this day and this service to focus on him and his work on the cross and what that means to us. And we look forward to the consummation, the climax of all of this on Sunday. But this is good for us just to reflect upon the power of the cross and our need for forgiveness and for righteousness, a need which you have so graciously provided in him. So we rejoice in him tonight. We give you praise and thanks and pray that, just as the song said, we would really give our life, our all to you, to the praise of your glory and your grace. Dismiss us now with your peace and with your blessing. And we will praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.